Blog Talk Radio. My lovely sister.
Hello, y'all. Drina, what's happening, bitches, witches, whatever. You know who you are.
Yeah, you people. You people.
Those are our
That's
peeps, dumb. Man. Give love to the peeps. Give love.
Exactly. Much, much, much love to the peeps. Speaking of love, I'm going to do my shout out early. I'm going to give my cousin Jessica a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. Love you, Jess.
Love you, Jesse. Okay.
First
of all, I got to say, and I know our male listeners do not want to hear this. This is going to be TMI, but you know what? Our fucking show. I am cramping. Yeah, I'm cramping. I'm crampy. This is weird. I'm too old for this crap, but it's happening. And it could be karmic retribution for what I watched this week.
Uh-oh. Okay,
Karen,
drum roll, please.
If Karen is listening, damn right I watched it. Here comes Honey Boo Boo. Oh, my goddess. I am still walking, speaking English, and able to add is beyond me. This is the most crazy, weird, strange, backwater, mama, daddy, brother, sister, cousin, uncle loving thing I have ever seen in my whole life. And I know that Karen warned me last week and said, you're not. And I said, watch me. And yes,
yeah, she
freaking well
arms.
Did. Well, here's the situation. I didn't believe that those people still existed. Now, when I lived in the Appalachian Mountains 20 lots of years ago, yes, there were still people like that. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. The mama's name is June. June is 32. Okay? June is 32. 307 pounds, literally, because she let herself be weighed on the air. Frightening.
What?
Yes. She has 4 kids, all of them by different daddies. The only daddy that's around is the daddy of the little beauty queen, Honey Boo Boo. I have to tell you, for all the spitting and chewing and gnawing, nose picking, earwax eating, butt scratching, belly flopping in the mud that I saw, and there was a lot of it.
Oh my
I thought that was a race of people that had gone on and evolved to something else. No, apparently not. It was very amusing in a very terrifying kind of way. So, yeah. Honey Boo Boo, I have to tell you, this child does not even call her father Daddy. She calls him by his nickname, Sugar Bear. They call
what?
Him Sugar Bear. Sugar Bear. Yes. It's amazing.
Oh.
It is amazing. And I have to tell you, out of all of the children and all of the adults that I have seen on this show, the most intelligent person on the show, oh, my God, is, in fact, a 6-year-old.
Aww.
Pray for these children. It's very sad and very scary. So we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. And my sister is going to actually give me a reading on air. If you guys have any feedback that you want to give, I can't see the chat room. I don't know why. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. I usually can never sign in. It's some kind of technological disorder of my computer, I guess. But please let my sister know through the chat room if you guys have any feedback or picking anything up during this reading, because I'm just curious.
Cool. Yeah. All right, I'm shuffling
But before
out.
You get to that, I do have to make another comment, not about Honey Boo Boo. But I have to tell you, during the week, as everybody knows, my sister posts who's going to be on. There's a blog and all of this good stuff. Honey, when I saw Hottie in a kilt time, I went pants on the ground, honey. I was so excited. I dropped my pants, my panties, my bra fell off. It was amazing. I was so excited. Because himself, the sexy and fantabulous Rob Grillo is on tonight, is he not? Oh, my God.
Oh, yes, he is. And he's in the chat room listening to you now.
He just oozes all kinds of good sexual things and other stuff. Okay, drooling over, please read for me.
Okay.
Let's just cut to the chase and get down to work.
And I do have to make an addendum that I apologize if I'm coughing a lot tonight. I am getting over a cold, so I apologize for hacking beforehand. All right.
Don't let her lie to you. I told her not to swallow. She never listens.
Oh.
I'm a bad girl. I'm such a bad girl.
You are. Almost. I'm at you.
Thomas? Ooh.
Well, you know, I have
much water. Like that.
Listen to you. See, I'm telling you, Rob, look what you did. Look what you did.
Honey, I'm drooling already. Just the sound of his voice makes me go, ooh, ooh.
It needs to make you go,
I'd like to be going, all over that. Anyway.
Jungle Jam. All right, let me spread these out real quick. I said spread.
The cards are spread, babies. Hold tight.
I'm telling you, this is going to be a raunchy night. We apologize.
No, we don't. Fuck that. I don't apologize for shit. There ain't no shame in my game. I am a dirty old lady, and I like it like that.
We're going to be chasing the men around in our wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh. You are going to... You're going to freak.
Probably.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So the first card is a favorable relocation.
Hello!
Yes. Bam, right
Hello,
there.
Hello, I'm on my way. Next.
Next, success in all things.
Rock on with my badass self.
And the third is flirtation.
Flirtation?
Do you have your flirtation device?
Always, and it's always on extra stun. Hello.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. This is, to me, well, I don't know, you're doing a little bit of flirting tonight, but... This is like serious heavy duty flirting. I'm seeing around February, or beforehand, which there seems to, in some of the readings that I've been giving, there was a lot of activity toward October, and there's been a lot of activity toward spring.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some big shifts coming during those months. Things are like puzzle pieces are being put into place.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you
better
buy some.
Is flirting with anybody I know?
No, this is. I'm not feeling. I don't know this person.
All right, fine.
I'm not feeling that. No. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. But yeah, no, I don't know this person.
Okay.
This is a stranger to you and me.
Oh baby, a stranger to you and me. Me likey.
Man, I'm gonna sing. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, you're making me sing. Don't make me sing.
Yeah. I hear the sirens. The warrants are being issued. Put down the microphone. Dorian, put down the microphone.
Oh, baby, I don't need a microphone.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I appreciate you doing that for me. Thank you, guys. If anybody has any feedback, please let my sister know so she can tell me. Always looking for additional information. I ain't too shy to ask. Hello.
I'm telling you that was confirmation right there. The first card.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
Nothing like that Buckland deck, I got to say. Oh, and speaking of Dr. Buckland, may I please?
Yes, of course you may.
I'm just saying.
Yes, absolutely.
We had Dr. Buckland on the show a few weeks ago, as most of our listeners know. My sister, who adores Dr. Buckland, decided to start a petition for his knighthood on Facebook. Talk about the hating other Wiccans that got on to say some nasty shit. Folks, don't be jealous. Don't be hating. You know, he's a great, influential person in our community. What's the problem?
That's all I wanted to say. I honestly don't get that. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to call all y'all out. You're a bunch of whiny bass bitches.
Ooh.
You know what? Okay, fine. If you don't understand how the queen would, it's not up to you to understand. She either does or she doesn't. I'm just asking. And if you don't like it, you can take your fucking opinion and you can shove it up your ass, because I don't give a shit. I'm doing this because I respect the man, and, you know, I shouldn't be cussing around his name, I feel like. But I've always had the inclination to call him sir, and the idea struck me. He didn't poo-poo it. It's not like he asked for it. It's not like he's petitioning. This is me. I did this myself. You know, because I thought it would be a nice gesture. I thought it would be showing respect to our elders.
Yep.
In case you people don't know fucking manners. But don't come on my page talking shit. You don't like it, don't look. That's it. End of discussion. And right now, nobody can fucking post on there. You know, because this is why we can't have nice things. Because people want to break shit. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's funny, because I used to hear that when I was young. We can't have nice things. And I'm like, I'm not even in the house half the time. Blame the dog or blame dad. Leave me alone. That just cracks me up. Children want to ruin shit. We're not going to have anything nice in the house anymore. Oh,
exactly.
Special announcement.
Yes?
Special announcement. On our September 28th show, we're having Donna Dimmick, owner and creator of Valhalla Soap Company. I'm getting my shipment this coming week, so she can come on and talk about soap and her lotion. I'm psyched. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Everybody knows Raina likes to shop. That's right.
Shopping's fun. See, I'm just waiting for the money to come so I can go shopping.
It's therapeutic. I needed some therapeutic stuff to happen, because I'm telling you, I just got new job responsibilities, and they are kicking my behind.
You know what? I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it, because that is going to be a subject unto itself. But there is something exciting coming up.
Yes.
And I can't tell you. It's a secret. But it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. But see, you shouldn't be teasing listeners like that because it's not fair. Okay, so what happened in the news this week, real quick, before his hotness in the kilt? I wonder if he's wearing his kilt tonight.
I demanded that he does. No, I'm just kidding. We can imagine.
Getting hostile, folks. It's Friday night. She's looking for action. So correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been working 14 hours a day. Was there an embassy bombing yesterday?
Yes, there was.
Holy crap. What the hell is going on?
There actually was another one today. This stems from another set of religious zealots. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to call it like I see it. Surprise, surprise, they're Christians. and they, you know, I'm not lumping them all, but I'm not surprised when this shit happens. You know, you don't hear of pagans or Buddhists or Hare Krishnas or, you know, I mean, even really Mormons. You know, you don't hear about them just like going ape shit because you said boo to them. You know, or because they don't like what you're wearing.
Oh,
you know,
is this a clothing issue? What the hell?
No, these people actually did have valid reasons to be upset because this company, and I'm sorry, I got to take a drink of water real quick before I start coughing again.
Slurp.
Yes. Oh, that sounded lewd. Anyway, they created this movie, you know, like a B-rated thing, whatever, you know, homemade thing, but they were making fun of Muhammad. You know, they were making fun of their religion. They were saying that, you know, their religion is nothing but bullies and, I mean, just absolutely ripping them apart through dialogue. You know, through acting. Yeah, I have not seen it. I don't really want to see it. But in my opinion, these fuckers and the dude who was trying to head up the Quran burning, Terry something, I forget what his last name is, and I should know. But, they have blood on their hands. They have blood on their hands. They are basically responsible for 4 American deaths and possibly more.
Wow.
You know, because now they're so friggin' riled up. They're going after the German embassy. They're going after the Australian embassy. They're going after, you know, all the things that are even remotely associated with America, like the KFCs, the Hardee's, all the fast food restaurants over there are being looted and destroyed. Yeah. It's insane.
They're looting fast food restaurants? Are they hungry? What the hell are they doing?
No, this is...
No sense.
You know, a violent sect of people. You know, because, I mean, obviously, just the same way that we get a bad rap in other countries, you know, that we're all fat and lazy, you know, all Libyans are not... I think it's Libya. I'm sorry. You know, they don't all hate us. You know, but their religion is just as volatile as Christianity because they're so damn similar. I mean, if you read them side by side, they're almost exactly the same. There's very minimal changes between the Quran and the Bible. And I'm sorry, but the Quran, I believe, is older.
Yes.
You know, so... what they have to be upset about, you know, because they plagiarized a religion and then said, you're not doing it right. It's like, excuse me, they started it. You know, I mean, I don't agree with the hostility. I understand they're upset, you know, because that is like one of the biggest things. They tried to kill a Dutch artist when he he drew the picture of Muhammad because you're not supposed to have
the image. They did kill the Dutch artist, actually.
Oh, did they? Oh,
yes.
God.
Yes, he was murdered. Yes, indeed. Not good. Yeah. Scary shit.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm sorry, but it's, I'm at a loss for words. I really am. It's like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you possibly bring war upon your own country? You know, it's bad enough we got our nose in everybody else's fucking business. You got to bring them here?
Well, here's the thing. You know, you have to expect some kind of retaliation against America at every turn. I've just come to expect it now. It's like, you know, I don't know if it's because religion has become such a big topic in this country. It wasn't until like 30 years ago. Everybody was basically allowed to keep their religious business to themselves and not have to worry about, you know, discussing it. Thank you, Ronald Reagan, for completely fucking over the way politics.
Don't you, that's sacrilege. Don't you talk about my Ronnie that way. Sorry. I don't get the whole thing with Ronald Reagan. It's like he was a fucking Hollywood actor. Nancy Reagan was running this country, and she did a shit job of it.
Well, I don't know if Nancy Pants was really running the country, but by the same token, you know, in the beginning, I think Reagan was trying to just please everybody. He actually started off as a Democrat and was convinced to run as a Republican so he could win. He did win, and then for whatever reason, because he was called the great communicator, well, you know, if you're a professional actor, you better know how to communicate, but okay. They made him the patron saint of the Democratic Party. Now, the problem with that is that the Ronald Reagan that they had then, if that Ronald Reagan tried to run today, they would call him all kinds of crazy names and tell him he was too liberal.
Yeah.
You know, he had gay friends. He didn't really look at people with the same jaundiced eye that some politicians look at, you know, people that are different from them do now. It's like, it's amazing to me how much has changed in such a very short amount of time. When did we go back to being... No, I'm sorry, we didn't go back. You know, I don't understand why we became a religious country except for the fact that it was the only way to scare enough people to agree with a particular team. And I have a big issue with people that use their religion as a weapon. Not supposed to be a weapon. It's supposed to be a faith, a belief, something that brings joy, peace, harmony, you know, shit like that.
Exactly.
Sorry. Just fucking aggravates me.
I tell you what, actually, Rob is really giving it to them on the, not them in the chat room, but yeah. You want to pull them on real quick?
You can pull him slow, you can pull him quick, whatever will make him smile. Come on, Daddy, where are you?
Oh, he's like, let me pull him on real quick. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, that voice, that's crazy.
Hello, ladies.
Ooh,
yeah,
hello,
oh, and tell her about your articles of clothing.
Yeah, you mean the lack of articles of clothing?
My favorite album. Tell me in detail, please.
I'm sitting in my wine shop. I am in my recliner in my wine shop, completely naked with a figure in my hand and a Coke in the other one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So Raina, you had that webcam installed in his basement, right?
Well, I have a webcam on my computer.
You're playing with your what?
I have a webcam on my laptop.
I'll bet you do, Big Daddy. I'll bet you do. I'll bet it's got a wide angle lens too. Hello.
What's going on, Nate?
It's been a long time for me. You'll have to excuse me.
You gotta go rub one out.
I get a little misty-eyed. It's been a while since I've had the company of a man. So, yes, I'm smiling big and drooling. So if I'm rendered speechless at some points during the conversation, I'm just having impure thoughts about a man without his kilt on. Hello.
So what have you been up to since the last time we talked to you?
Let's see. I did the Connecticut Renaissance Festival in the springtime.
How'd that go?
It was all right. The thing is, with what I do for a living, we're not fucking Harry Potter, all right? Anybody who's ever gotten a wand or made a spirit board, you know, what I do is I make things with intention. You know, I make it's the real deal. You know, I have a purpose and a goal behind what I do when I make a wand or I make a spirit board. And most of what this company is all about, you know, healing people. You know, I've gone from like crazy biker metalhead to like spiritual healer, and so it's a niche market. You know, I don't make, you know, you guys have seen my wands. I don't make Harry Potter knockoffs. I think it's bullshit, and I think it's a slap in the face to, you know, something I believe in. So we're kind of, it's a niche market, so people didn't know what to think of us the first time around. And, you know, the last couple of weeks of the springtime fair, you know, people were, you know, patrons were warming up to us, and got some really, really, really cool friends out of that. You know, people who were customers and who ended up being friends and, like, now traveling up from Connecticut to come to my birthday party. And then after that, we did the Sterling Renaissance Festival in upstate New York on Lake Ontario. And, boy, was that just insane.
I used to go there, yeah. But when you say insane, do you mean good insane or bad insane?
The first couple of weeks were really bad. I mean financially, all right?
Uh-huh.
But it was every weekend, as far as I'm concerned, if I helped somebody, then fuck the money. You know, every weekend there was always somebody that, you know, left with a hug and in tears because I helped them, or my business partner Carolyn helped them. And, you know, and in the last couple of weekends, you know, we broke even on the weekend. That's kind of how we like gauged it, because again, we're a new company and, you know, we're new to like the second biggest Renaissance festival in the country, you know? So, you know, we gauged it like, if we broke even for the hotel rooms and the food and everything else and paying the guys that came up with us. And that was cool, but we met so many amazing, amazing people, just like people who are going to be like lifelong friends and, you know, eventually lifelong customers. And, you know, and that to me more than anything else mattered the most. And it was insane and amazing in that respect. And, you know, in any new company, it takes a year or two or three, and especially with what I do, it's not a mass market product, you know.
It's made very much by hand with great intention and great care, and you handpick everything you put into one piece.
Oh, yeah, everything. Yeah. I mean, even so, I don't even shop for stones online. I actually go to, like, a stone dealer, and I pick out the stones that I'm going to use, and, you know, we're doing the Pagan Pride Day in Topsfield, Massachusetts, the Sunday, and then the following weekend we're going down and setting up for the Fall Connecticut Renaissance Festival, and what we're doing is we've been giving away chakra bags, and we've been putting together chakra bags for people and just giving them to them, and it's just, you know, it's one of the things that Man, I gotta tell you, I never in a million years ever imagined that I would be spiritual healing people.
give some folks who maybe didn't hear the previous show you were on with us, give them a little bit of your background, Rob, so they kind of have a feel for your wonderfulness.
All right, well, I was a bastard for a really long time. I always had a good heart, but I didn't have any compunction whatsoever for punching somebody in the face if they looked at me the wrong way. You know, I was born and raised in the Bronx. I'm 100% Italian and a Taurus on top of that. I don't take shit from anybody. And I'm 6 foot tall Italian too on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So figure that one out.
Shit house, if I may interject. Thank you.
I got a little bit. The fuel tank for the sex machine's getting a little bit bigger as I get older. But you know, it's still not that bad.
It's all good love right there, baby.
I can still see my dick when I look down, and so that's, you know, we're good.
I know so many people who can't.
Oh God, that's gotta suck.
No, it doesn't, because you can't get close enough to. Never mind. But I'm bummed. So explain to folks how you got onto the path you're on now.
I'm also a lifelong biker. I've been playing guitar for 30 years in a death metal band. Well, in a black death metal band, which is kind of the left hand path of metal. Two and a half years ago, my son was born, and that completely changed my life. A year ago, I'm part of a paranormal group, and we were having a meeting, and they said, oh, well, we're doing this Pagan Pride Day, and we want to make some stuff to sell and, you know, help support the group, and because I work with wood. I've been a construction guy for, I don't know, 15 years now, you know, building houses. And I said, well, you know, maybe I can make some wands. And they were like, yeah, that's a good idea. And that, like, instantly, I mean, it was instant. I went, oh, fuck, what did I just say? I've never been a religious person. I mean, I went to Catholic school because that's what you do when you're Italian and you grow up in New York. So I was always the guy that when it came to religion, if it had a name, if it had an organization and it had a building, I wanted nothing to do with it. Absolutely
right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
That's everything from Christianity to Satanism, paganism and Wicca was in there too. I mean, everything, you know, it was just anything that was organized. I wanted nothing to do with it. I wanted to have, if there was a higher power out there, I wanted to have a personal relationship. And, you know, I always felt that that's what I needed. It was just me and that's it, you know? So I went home that night and I got on the internet and I said, well, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to make wands, I'm going to do it right. You know, I'm going to be at a Mecca for pagans and Wiccans. I'm not just going to like go out and grab branches and say that it's a wand, which I know some do, I come from a very, very, well, I found out later on, I come from a very long line of Strega witches. Okay. Actually, the original line of Strega witches, because my two direct last names are Grillo and Pagano, and Pagano is the Latin word for pagan. So my family were the original dirt worshippers, quote unquote. And they didn't need those old crazy Italian women didn't need a wand; they needed a finger, and that was it. And you were fucked. That was it. You were all done. They pointed your finger at you. I don't care. Something happened to you and you sat down. That was it. So I researched spiritual properties of wood, but I said, you know, if I'm going to make wands, I'm going to make wands with, you know, and I'm going to do it right. And I found, you know, doing a lot of research, I found like a pretty comprehensive list of, you know, woods that have spiritual properties and what their spiritual properties are. And then I went out and I found a place that sold these exotic woods, and I made some wands. And a year later, this is where I am. I mean, I've made wands. I've made custom wands on order for all of the Salem Elite. I mean, we're retailed in 4 stores. I say the Salem Elite, but you know, when you have people like Lori Bruno, Mama Bruno, who is an amazing, amazing woman. When she comes up to me the second time I ever met her, I walk into the shop. It was the day I was supposed to meet with Christian, and he was supposed to go through my wands and see what he wanted for Hex. Lori goes, "Where's the wand maker at?" And I'm like, "I'm right here, Lori." She goes, "Come here, you." And I went over to her. She said, "Listen, you know, in all the time that I've been doing this, I've seen every manner of product. I've seen every charlatan." She goes, "I finally met the real deal." And when you have a woman like that say that to you, and you're only 2 months into making wands, that's the kind of thing that keeps me going to this day. Because, you know, people look at me and they see pictures of me and they see, like, or, you know, the things that I do and what I'm about, and they're like, "There's no way that this guy can make wands and they're real." And then people touch them and go, "Whoa."
Yeah.
And again, you know what, ladies, I still have no clue to this day how I do what I do. I just do it. There is something out there that's compelling me. I am definitely the poster boy for opening up your mind and letting the energies around you guide you.
Yeah.
You know, to all these closed-minded morons that are out there, all these mentally lethargic, mindless sheep, I am definitely, definitely, you know, the poster boy for that. If you open up your mind and there's energy around you, there's energy around everything, every single minute of the day. And if you're receptive to that, the amazing and wonderful things that it'll do for you and do in your life, you know, I'm living proof of it.
So are we, actually, as my sister and I often discuss. You know, this whole radio show thing was merely a joke in the beginning of February until we actually made it a real show. And it's been incredible, and we've met fantastic people such as yourself. So, I mean, the possibility when you do stop saying, "No, I can't," or "No, I won't," or "No, it'll never work," as long as you continue to perpetuate that, indeed, that is exactly what you'll get. No, it won't happen. No, it won't ever work. So I completely agree. I think the three of us are definitely living proof of what can happen if you let it.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you definitely got to let go of the ball, you know, and let what, you know, just be a willow. Go with the flow, you know.
Ooh, that sounded all new agey. Be a willow. Bend like a willow.
Oh, my God, I did. I sounded like a willow. I'm sorry.
Pull your shit back together. We're going to be singing Kumbaya in a damn minute. Relax.
No, remember, I have that injunction. I'm not allowed to sing in public.
Okay, Rob and I will sing. Never mind. Nobody's singing.
Well, what do you want me to sing? Because I can definitely croon you ladies a tune, that's for sure. I'll put the Barry White boy on.
I think we're going to take that off air later. But anyway,
Can't have a microphone. What else do we need?
For the safety of our audience, no one on this show is currently allowed to sing. But all right. But yes, I mean, Rob, you obviously come from a background where, you know, your buddies, I would assume back in the day, if they had any idea of who you would be now, so to speak, would probably have laughed their asses off because you were pretty much the consummate badass.
Well, I still am.
I still don't have a problem.
No, my best friend on this planet, his name's Crazy Bob.
Yes, Bob.
The last person before this ever happened, the last person that you would ever think that would be making spiritual healing tools is me. Mm-hmm. the first person that would bust my balls for doing that would be him. And you know what?
Together.
And he got it, man. He's like, Rob, I see these little things. Like last year, he says, I see these little things on Facebook. He goes, what are you doing, dude? And I'm like, nothing, dude. I don't even want to talk about it. And he's like, come on, man. What the hell are you doing? And I'm like, dude. And he goes, I'm coming over there. And I went, oh, shit. So we're down. At the time, I didn't have the studio that I have now. I was in the basement. And he comes down and he goes, all right, what are you doing, dude? Are you making wands? And I went, yeah, dude, and I'm making wands. And I'm gearing up for, like, when him and I go at it, we go at it. I mean, we're just like, every goddamn derogatory word, we just rip each other apart. That's just because who we are, and that's how good of friends we are. And
show love.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a definite bromance there, and I hope he's listening because he'll understand what I just said. He's definitely my brother from another mother. Well, he's my brother from a Jewish mother. Let's just put it like that. So, you know, and he looked at some of the things that I was doing. He's like, wow, dude, these are really, really nice. He goes, I don't get any of the other aspect about it, but I really appreciate good, like artwork and woodworking. He goes, what
craftsmanship.
He goes, this is really cool, dude. And I went, huh? And to this day, has not ever busted my balls once about making wands and, you know, that, I mean, just everything. And he's been a part of it. He hasn't been feeling good lately. But, you know, he's been a part of it, and he's always super supportive. And, you know, I have my business partner, Carolyn, who's absolutely amazing and pushes me when I'm down and I'm like, oh my God, this is a business. I never wanted this to be a business. Rawr! And she goes, well, Rob, you know, all the people that you meet and all the people that you tell, that makes you feel good, right? I'm like, yeah. She goes, well, the business has to be, because if you aren't doing the business, then you aren't meeting these people and you aren't helping these people. And I go, ah, shut up, bitch. I hate you. You know, but, you know, and she's been wicked supportive and, you know, just, I mean, she's got a master's degree in psychology. She's now starting her internship, and she still finds time to help out around here and do all the business stuff and just push me to do push me when I need a little bit of a push, you know. And it's really cool, and it's because of what I did last year when I first made the wands that I met her. She was working at a shop that wanted my wands in their shop. And she just, like, jumped on board. She's like, you have no idea what you're doing. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't. Now I do, though. Now I do.
Yeah.
I've seen it, man. It's crazy and it's awesome.
So,
yeah, you've definitely... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, because I'm going to divert to something else.
I was just going to say, Rob, it's been amazing to watch you grow just in the last 7 months.
Yeah, all this stuff just, I mean, we had talked about doing Renaissance festivals, and the Connecticut Renaissance Festival was like, wow, you guys have a really good product. And the Connecticut Renaissance Festival is like a tent show. You know, there's no, like, hard sites. It's not like a, you know, like an all year round. And then we said, just out of the blue, we said, you know, let's check Sterling. Because, you know, Sterling and Maryland are the two holy grails of Renaissance festivals, really. And and I said, just for the hell, you know, it's just for shits and giggles. Let's see what Sterling says. Now, Sterling, when you get into Sterling as a first-time vendor, they usually only give you, like, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and they give you an area to set up your tent to see how you do. Then they ask you to come back next year or whatever. Well, the artisan director saw our product, brought it to the jury, and the jury approved us for all 7 weeks and gave us a hard site.
Awesome.
So we did 7 weeks up there, up on Lake Ontario. Yeah, it was amazing. It's absolutely unheard of for a first-time vendor to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because, I mean, your stuff is just phenomenal. Excuse me.
Thank
and
you.
All I see is pictures. You know, it's like, I seriously, I can't wait to get up there and just, you know, grab onto your wood.
Well, all right. what I'm talking about, baby.
For two. All righty.
I did want to ask you, though, what did you do to hurt yourself?
Oh, I didn't do anything to hurt myself. I guess this has been a long time coming. I woke up when we were up in Sterling, and it was like 7 weeks ago. I woke up one morning in the hotel room, and I was in massive, massive amounts of pain. And for the last 7 weeks, I haven't slept for more than a night. I've been in constant agonizing pain. Hang on one second.
Okay.
I had an MRI done, and I have 4-level herniation in my neck. And my C5, my C6, my C7, and the hardest one to actually get a herniation in, the T1, which is, you know, yeah, and the T1, which is the worst one, it's not only herniated, it's protruding. There's 35% left to the disc, and it's narrowing. So it's pushing down on a cluster of nerves. And my whole left arm is in like constant pain, and half of my hand is like numb. So I've been going to a chiropractor, and I've been wicked, like miserable about it, like bullshit, pissed off. Like, you know, I've been helping people for the last year, and I'm like, listen, you know what? When I get to the clearing at the end of the path, me and Karma are gonna have some words, and I'm gonna smack that bitch. All right, because I've been helping people. All right, her and I are going to go head up when it's our time, because I'm like, listen, you know what? I'm a good father. You know, I try to do the right thing all the time. I'm helping people, and this is what I get. And then, you know, and that's just me being miserable because I haven't slept for 7 weeks, and it's me being miserable because I'm in constant pain, and my production is dropped dramatically. And then, you know, I go, this is just another test, and I got to work through it. That's all. You know, this is what, you know, the last week or so is what I've been coming to the realization that, you know, this is put here for me to overcome. And it's the universe saying, all right, let's see what Rob's resolve is like.
Ooh.
And I'll be goddamned if I let anything beat me.
Yeah. You know, and honestly, it's like sometimes they do that. It's like I have... There has been quite a few times that I've been like, seriously, you know, it's not like I expect a reward, but I don't expect to be shit on.
I always say my reward for doing what I do is seeing people's faces and the joy that I bring them, the joy that this company brings them, the joy that, you know, myself, Carolyn, my apprentice Gareth, Bob, you know, and anybody who's a part, Ricky, who works at Hex, who's a really good friend of mine. He came for the last two weekends up at Sterling, and you know, the energy between us was amazing, and the things that we did, and you know, just seeing people's faces and seeing a smile on people's faces. I know some people may sound hokey, but you know, just doing what we've done is all the reward I'll ever need. And that's the truth. And, you know, I'm not looking for a reward, but I'm not looking to get, you know, I'm not gay. I don't want to get fucked in my ass like I've been for the last 7 weeks.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's rough. It is rough. You know. Oh, speaking of rough,
uh-oh.
What is the piece, you know, piece de resistance, what everybody's been dying to hear about,
uh-huh.
is this little conversation with Miss Cherrier Phelps, whatever her fucking name is, Roper?
Cherrier Phelps Roper.
Okay.
Yeah.
We talked about this. I have been dying to hear about this. When Sis told me, I was freaking.
All right. So, little backstory. A long time ago, I was in a different paranormal group than what I'm in now, and they have a radio show on Blog Talk. And the host is as flamingly gay as it gets, and he was a member of our group and a friend of mine. And then there's so now you got a paranormal radio show hosted by, like, Super Queen, okay? who like the ads are, you know, pro gay ads and the whole nine yards, invited Shirley Phelps to be on the radio, and then invited thought it would be great to have me on too.
Oh God.
So she called up, and we went back and forth because I called her out on her bullshit. I'm like, listen, you know what? The only thing you say that you're a warrior of God, okay? For the people that in the chat room or people that are listening that don't know, the Westboro Baptist Church go to military funerals and protest at military funerals saying, your sons come home in body bags because God hates fags. This is what they chant. Their whole reasoning is not that they're anti-war. Their belief is that our soldiers are dying in Afghanistan and Iraq because they help defend a country that promotes and allows homosexuality. And it's God smiting our country.
Yeah.
Because we allow that. Now, and the only reference that they have to go to in the Bible is a chapter in Leviticus, okay, where it says man shall not lay with man, blah, 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 all that bullshit. Okay, also in Leviticus it says it's okay to have slaves. I like slaves. Slaves are very good. And I'm hoping you ladies know, yes, because I'm the guy that holds the leash. Yes, I have quite the toy chest. All right, we'll get back on track. Now me going to Catholic school, and I also have photographic memory. Everything I read, I remember. You know, I can say when I was in Catholic school, there was very little bit of study on the Old Testament. There was more concentrate. They concentrated more on the New Testament. So I pulled out some of my favorite counterpoints of Scripture. You know, one of the biggest being, you know, Jesus, according to the Christians. You know, I'm using her own religion to like combat her in her fucking stupidity. Jesus said, and it was one of the most prolific statements he ever said, was love thy neighbor. Mm-hmm. Just wholeheartedly love your neighbor. And I said, Shirley, what you're doing is not loving. She goes, oh, yes, I am loving my neighbor. And I'm loving them by telling them what they're doing is wrong. And I went, sweetheart, listen. She goes, don't you call me sweetheart. And I went, oh, really? I said, all right, sweetheart. And then I said, all right, sweetheart, listen, you know what? God says that he's going to judge. You don't judge, because your judgment is going to get you judged, and then the devil's going to be banging you in the ass. And she goes, oh, my God, you know, blah, blah, blah. She started going off about that. I'm like, listen, all right, here it is. I got to tell Shirley Phelps Roper that she had sand in her vagina. Shirley, what you need to do right now is go take a shower because you got a lot of sand in your fucking vagina, don't you? And she goes, oh, my God, don't you talk about my personal private parts or I'm going to start talking about your personal private parts. I said, Shirley, sweetheart, I said, my personal private parts are all over the Internet. Do you want the address?
Oh, damn. Oh. What do you want to bet she
ended up. She ended up hanging up.
Wow. Oh, okay. You are now officially my hero. You shut her up. You know hard that is to do?
Do you guys remember, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. It could have been longer, but when that tragedy happened in Pennsylvania where those 12 Amish kids got shot and killed.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? All right.
That's horrible.
As far as I'm concerned, because I have direct dealings with Mormons on an almost daily basis, and I'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, the most religious, pious, and strong strength of conviction when it comes to religion and people are the Amish. They live what they teach. They teach what they live. And that's it. There is no this is their belief. I don't care how many people I offend by saying that there is no more a pious person, as far as I'm concerned, than the Amish, because they walk the walk and they talk the talk. You know what I mean?
Yes. They absolutely do.
The Westboro Baptist Church went and protested those 12 Amish kids' funerals.
You know, that I don't get. I mean, that is like the most vile and evil thing on the face of this planet. And I have noticed, and I'm very proud of the media for this, you know, because they're all about the shock value.
Yeah.
They have stopped covering them. You know, and that's
right.
The only way to get rid of these fucking people is to stop giving them attention.
Until they actually, they're actual terrorists as far as I'm concerned, you know, and I'm calling it like it is. They are terrorists because what they did with the Amish kids, they went out there saying that we want airtime on this station, this, and this, or we're going to protest this funeral. So the news gave it to them.
Wow.
Now, they've done this with other high-profile funerals, too. They protested, they were going to protest George Carlin's funeral.
Yeah.
And they said, enjoy your afterlife, George, while you're getting, this is exactly what they said, this is Christians for you now, while you're getting fucked in the ass by the devil. This is what they said. Yeah.
That's pretty astounding.
And
I have to agree with you, Rob. The instances of domestic terrorists are usually ignored because everybody wants to look outside the country at people that don't look like them. But I have to agree with you that the Westboro Baptist people are definitely psychological domestic terrorists, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. And, you know, they don't come up to Massachusetts. Massachusetts enacted a law, I think, right? I joined the Patriot Guard in 2005, and the first funeral I went to was in March of 2006, and it was.
Tell us what the Patriot Guard is.
The Patriot Guard is a group of people. And it's not just bikers now. I mean, it's. we go to military funerals and honor fallen soldiers. It started out with an American Legion group in Kansas that were counter-protesting the Westboro Baptist Church, and it just kind of grew. I think there's like 200,000 of us now. And basically what we did was we pulled our bikes, lined our bikes up between the family and the protesters, and when the family was going into the church, held American flags so that the family didn't get to see the protesters, and if the protesters got too loud, we started up our bikes so that all the families heard were the motorcycles, you know, honoring their son or daughter that died, instead of hearing the protesters. And it's just grown. It's just huge. And for a long time I was a ride captain in Massachusetts. Being a part of the Patriot Guard really really helped to help me to empathize, because I was never really one to empathize with a lot of things. And you know, when I'm you know, a riot captain and it's my mission, because it's in my area, and I have to deal with, you know, the casualty officer directly, and I have to deal with the family directly, the mother, the father, the sisters, the brothers, the wife, the husband. And then, you know, being there from like minute one all the way through their internment in, you know, like Bourne National Cemetery, which is which is around here. And then presenting them with a plaque and holding them when they're crying, and, you know, that, you know, you kind of take stock of your life when that's, you know, your level of involvement in something like that. And so the original mission was to protect the family from the uglies. We call them uglies, uninvited guests. And now it's really truly about just honoring a soldier and his sacrifice for what he did. And regardless of whether I agree with the war or not, I will always stand by somebody who made a decision and died with honor, regardless of what the situation is.
And I got to take a moment to say thank you to them and to you for doing that.
Please don't thank me for them. It's my honor to be a part of it. It really is, but I appreciate it. But it's, you know, when the families thank me, I kind of go, no, please don't you dare thank me. I thank you for what you've given me. You know, your son or daughter, you know, gave their life for something that they believed in, and you know, they're shining examples of what, you know, we all should be.
Yeah.
You know, that's for me, that's the hardest thing when a parent or a wife or a husband thanks me for honoring their lost loved one. I can't deal with that. I tell them don't thank me. You know, we do this, and it's our honor to do it.
Your spiritual door was getting kicked open then, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I gotta say. Yeah, definitely, you know. And Massachusetts, shortly after I joined, I think it was like 2007 or 2008, there was one summer where it was every 3 days we were burying somebody here in Mass. You know, it was all on South Shore, which is my area. The South Shore is like Cape Cod, Plymouth, where Plymouth Rock is, that whole area is, you know, was my territory. And we had a run for like a month there where it was every 3 days it was a new soldier. And, you know, so what Mass did, I think it's now you have to be you can protest, but you have to be 500 yards.
Oh, good.
And a lot of states are doing that. It's very rare when they can actually get up to the family now. They give them the right to protest, which, ironically enough, is one of the things that the soldier died for, you know, the belief in our Constitution, which I believe wholeheartedly in, is freedom of speech. I believe in that 100%. I don't believe in freedom of speech as long as it doesn't offend somebody. I believe in freedom of speech no matter what. Okay, and that's, and you know what? When I see, when I've seen hundreds of soldiers die in my own neighborhood, I'm not talking the thousands that have died total. When I've seen the hundreds die for believing in what this Constitution and what this country should stand for, okay, I'll be goddamned if I'm going to take that away from somebody else, because that would make me a hypocrite. So they have a right to protest. Let them protest. Let them say and spew all this. We all know what they're about. We all know that they're fucking evil. And fine, but you know what? You got to be 500 yards away. And most of the time, 500 yards is like, I don't know, they can't even see the church. They can't even see the funeral home at 500 yards. You know, because by then you're running into residential and people, you can't protest on people's lawns, so they get shut down every chance they get. I think the closest they've come to Massachusetts is New Hampshire. I haven't heard of them being in Massachusetts. One of the guys in my group said, yeah, at one point they were here, but they took off because they can't do anything. You know, there's like 89 of them. They're all family. And cue the banjos. You know, they're probably all inbred, because that's just the way it works, because I don't see anybody wanting to fuck that ugly bitch. They're lawyers. Her and her father are both lawyers, and they're both litigious sons of bitches, man. They will take you to court. They're lawyers, man. They will take you to court for every little goddamn thing. And, you know, and if you violate their freedom of speech, and that's fine. I'm, you know, like I said, I'm all for their freedom of speech. But, I mean, I believe in karma. I may not believe in God and Jesus Christ, but I believe in karma. And karma is most definitely going to put a strap on and tear them apart.
Yeah. I'm actually looking to see what, because I'm in North Carolina, and I remember they revised it during Elizabeth Edwards' funeral.
Yes.
I think it
they
was.
They would have got shot. I'm telling you that right now. They would have, had they gone up to her at her funeral.
Yeah.
It would have been a mass murder.
Well, I got to tell you, it was very close because we were watching to see if this happened. I actually had been with Elizabeth Edwards just before she got diagnosed. And she was truly a wonderful woman and did not deserve a lot of the things that happened subsequent to that, least of all the Westboro Baptist coming to her funeral. I mean, I just couldn't understand. Hadn't this woman been through enough already?
No.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. It says, according to the Honoring Americans, Veterans, and Caring for Camp Lejeune Families Act of 2012, which is now headed, wait, let me see the date on this real quick. And that was, when is the date? Come on. Oh, this was August 2nd. So apparently this is on its way to Obama's desk. Demonstrators will no longer be allowed to picket military funerals 2 hours before or after a service. The bill also requires protesters to be at least 300 feet away from grieving family members. So, right on.
Well, also here in Mass, they got to pull a permit, too, to protest.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of states that are doing that now, too. I don't see 2 hours before or 2 hours after, that just, completely thwarts them from protesting. I mean, they can't. So they're not even gonna bother. But they're gonna get the headlines. I mean, they started with I'm trying to think of the kid's name. It was in the early 90s. He was a kid who got AIDS from
Ryan White.
Yes. They protested his funeral. That's when all this started. I gotta say, as far as, all right, my son's grandparents, not my parents. My son's grandparents are Mormon. His grandfather is a very well read, very intelligent man. His grandmother has been Mormon for 40 years. She's just totally does not get what I do, obviously. But I will tell you, out of all the religions that I've encountered in all my time, they are the ones that are most close family-wise. Like, they're major tenet. I mean, Mormonism is Christianity. And they're Christians. They believe in the Christian Bible. They just have the Book of Mormon, which was Joseph Smith. I make a joke. He got high and looked in a hat and saw, like, these two pieces of stone and wrote the Book of Mormon. But it's all about him talking, being empowered by the angel Moroni to write this extra chapter of the Bible. And really what it is, that the whole Book of Mormon is really all about keeping your body healthy, because there's no caffeine, there's no drugs of any kind, unless you really need like drugs for, medication. It's keeping your body as a temple, and it's more oriented towards family. I mean, family really, in the Book of Mormon, it kind of translates like family comes before God and God comes before family. They're one and the same. Like, they believe that, their conduit to God is by having a loving, close family. I have never seen, any religion be that close-knit family-wise. And so he kind of gets what I do. I made him a cane because he's got Crohn's disease, and he walks with two canes. and I made a cane out of the healing woods, black walnut, mahogany. They're all very powerful healing woods, especially when it comes to like bone diseases and stuff. And within 2 days of him using the cane I made him, all the pain in his left shoulder disappeared, like completely disappeared. And
oh, wow.
he said, Rob, he goes, continue doing what you're doing because I don't know what it is. He goes, but it works. You know, so
that's
I mean,
awesome.
he's a very cool, down to earth dude, and you know, and he believes in his religion is his religion, and but the what I'm getting to with this is he, you would think, now I don't want to go off on a rant because I have my problems with the current administration. Okay,
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, this election is comes up to two things. Okay, you got a choice between a douchebag and a shit sandwich. That's it. As far as I'm concerned, that's it. They both fucking suck. Obama's foreign policy sucks. Fucking Romney's homeland policy sucks. They both suck. But the thing is Romney uses his Mormonism to make a lot of decisions, like when he was governor in Mass. We had a bill that came in front of him that he vetoed. It was the decriminalization of marijuana. Now, decriminalization of an ounce or less, it's a $100 fine, it basically is what it is. And I don't smoke weed. I smoked weed once in my life when I was 15, and that was it. But I'm all for legalizing it because I am tired of paying. Are you ready for this? In Massachusetts, it costs $55,000 a year to house somebody in jail. And where do you think that comes from? My tax dollars. So for every prisoner that's in there for a friggin' joint for a year, it's $55,000 in tax money. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's fiscally irresponsible. So, and on the question of homosexuality, now, Romney didn't really say much when he was in governorship here in Mass about, you know, gay marriage and this, that, and the other thing. And now with his, you know, friggin' butt buddy over there that he's got for, you know, vice president, who was completely, I'm telling you this right now, guys, and this might shock you, but I'm more Republican than I am anything else. And that's weird because I wanted making pagan Republican. I'm a fiscally responsible Republican. Okay. I don't believe in the Christianity bullshit. The Republican Party has gotten so far away from what the Republican Party really is. It's disgusting to me. Okay. So I stopped saying that I'm a Republican. I'm a libertarian. I take the right parts of the right and the right parts of the left, the responsible, intelligent things of both sides, and you put them together, and that makes you a libertarian, all right? I believe in our Constitution. That's what it is.
Unfortunately, babe, that also makes you a man without a vote.
Oh, no, I know that. I completely know that. I won't vote for either one of them. Because you know what? They're stupid. I mean, what Romney and Ryan are doing right now, they're alienating even the most staunch Republicans with their bullshit rhetoric. I mean, Romney has shown when he was a governor here that he is led by his religion. He wouldn't pass that decriminalization bill because it was against his religion. I mean, the very first tenet of the Republican Party is to not be led by your religion. I mean, there's the separation of church and state, and he rules the way he runs his you know political you know lifestyle is through his religion, and so my son's grandfather is kind of like, you know, I'm really disappointed. The guy really is. And I've seen this from here in Mass. Okay, you guys don't know what went on here, but he is a fiscal genius. He really is. He would look at America and look at it like a company, like somebody coming into a company that's failing and just clean house and get it, you know, fiscally viable again, okay? But it's everything else that he runs his mouth on and his party runs his mouth on that would destroy this country. Obama apologizing to the Muslims for a video that was made by somebody who was an Israeli, not even an American. He was an Israeli, apologizing to them while they kill our servicemen and the ambassador over a video. And then you look at, I have friends that are in Norway because, like, the music I write and the music I listen to is very much rooted in Norway, the metal that I'm into. I have a lot of friends over in Norway. I don't care what this makes me sound like, guys, but the Muslims do not belong in Norway. They have no stake or claim in Norway. That is the land of the Vikings, okay? And the government, just like our government, is cowering down to these Muslims and these extremists when they're murdering their own citizens in the middle of the street for a friggin' cartoon. You know what? There's nothing anybody can say to me that's going to ever push me in a positive light on the Muslims, okay? I've read the Quran. You know, I don't ever, you guys hear me, I don't ever go off half-cocked and talk about things that I have no clue about. I've read the Quran. I've read what's in there. And you ladies, just being who you are, just being women, being empowered women, being pagan and Wiccan women, should literally grab a Quran and shit on it for what it says in there to do to you as women.
Yeah. Oh, actually, somebody said in the chat room Obama didn't apologize.
Oh, yes, he did. Yeah, okay. I can actually bring it up and put it up on my site. On the Facebook page.
You can put it on the show page for
Zakari,
all of you feel more comfortable with that.
And then Zakari, he's the president of Egypt. Yeah, Zakari said, I find it absolutely ridiculous, and which I give him credit for. I really know the Libyan president, Zakari. I'm getting all these names confused. Mubarak. But Zakari is the other one, I don't know which one, either Libya or Egypt. He actually said in a statement, in an interview to CNN, he actually said, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that Obama apologizes for this video. Like, he's basically calling out the Muslim Brotherhood and saying, you know what, you guys are ridiculous, okay? You guys are using every little excuse to go off when you already have... When you already want to, okay, you're using this as an excuse for the rest of the world to go, oh, well, you know, the Americans pissed them off again, okay? And their own people are shitting on them for what they did, you know?
Well, yeah.
But their own people are doing it.
Yeah, that's the extremists. I mean, because I know there's extremists everywhere. I mean, we've got people we're embarrassed of. They've got people they're embarrassed of. You know, but it's like... You know, I mean, you have children, you know, you have a child who has been two at some point. It's like a fucking giant two-year-old because you accidentally stepped on a sandcastle going and, like, blowing up your house.
Or when I take the rock band drums away from my son and he starts freaking out and you know, throwing shit around the house. And I'm going, dude, that ain't going to get you what you want, man. That's only going to make it worse.
I want to read you guys a quote.
I want to read you guys a quote if you don't mind. I am 100% against both parties. I really am. Okay, I'm not just shitting on Obama and shitting on Obama, and I'm not shitting on Romney and shitting on Romney either. Okay, they're both idiots as far as I'm concerned. You know, one's got good policies in one space. And the other one's got good policy somewhere else. I mean, they, you know, when it comes to politics, Republicans and Democrats are two sides of the same coin. Okay, there is no separation as far as I'm concerned. But Obama said this, and you guys can look this up, and you'll find out where it is. says, I will stand with the Muslims should the political wind shift in an ugly direction.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's taken out of context, Rob.
It's taken out of context, but the fact that that line was even there, you stand with Americans. You're an American president. You stand with Americans. You don't stand with Muslims. You don't stand with any other country but your own. And neither one of them get that. That's the thing. That sucks. And that sucks for me because I'm a person without a voice right now. And it's going to come down to this election is really going to show there's going to be three political parties at the end of this one. There really is. It's going to be, you know, the idiots on the right, the idiots on the left, and then there's going to be the people who are forward-thinking, intelligent, and rational, and they're going to be the ones in the middle, and you're going to see that group grow because we're tired of both sides. They're both corporate lackeys. They're both just minions. They really are. And the American people are going to get tired of it. They're going to get tired of either side, you know.
I got to tell you, Rob, as the voice in the room for the left, because I am, everyone knows I'm a liberal. I have to tell you that I have heard this for 30 years, that there was going to be a third party where people, because, you know, as a liberal, I'm not really heard either. Okay, my viewpoints are not represented by completely one party. Obviously, one party does represent my viewpoint more than the other, but even
right.
That notwithstanding, the fact of the matter is that I think our generation, I'm a little bit older than you guys, but we're still waiting for a third party that can win. And as long as the sides are still stacked, which they are, there will not be a viable third party. I'm personally waiting for a viable third party for 20-some-odd years now. After every election, everybody says, oh, you know, the third party's going to start to rise. Well, where the fuck are you?
Well, you know what it is? You know what it is? I'm looking at – there is such a decisive shift
mm-hmm.
in people's mindsets now. I mean, this is like – this election is going to be the most brutal in American history. It really is. I mean, this is going to – the way I feel right now, and, like, I've always – here's the other thing about me, and this is one of the things that I squashed back when I was a kid. I'm
yeah.
very, very, very powerful empath. I've always been. Like, I can read somebody, like, instantly. Like, I don't know if any of you guys have seen the movie Unforgettable.
Yes.
No, Unbreakable. No, Unbreakable. Unbreakable.
Unbreakable. Yes, I knew where you were going. Yes.
Okay. I kind of get that, but not as hokey. You know, I can read somebody. The second they start running their mouth, I know if they're a piece of shit or not. I know pretty much everything about them. I'm like, you know, a profiler, pretty much. I mean, I'm always dead on when it comes to that. And the feelings that I'm getting right now, I mean, I'm watching everything that goes on. You know, before this business, I was very, very, very political, especially with all my rantings on Facebook. If you go back to, like, 2010, you guys would be like, oh, my God. It was bad, man. It was, you know, I'm just tired of stupid people. And, you know, I railed against it. And for a long time now, I mean, for the last year especially, you know, I've had to rein that in because I don't want people to take what I say out of context, and I don't want to alienate my core group of fans. Okay, I don't even like fans and friends. I don't consider them customers. I don't think I've ever really considered anybody who's ever bought anything from me a customer. They're part of the family. That's kind of how I look at this. You know, and I don't want to alienate them. So I've been very closed mouth. And sometimes it just really goes up my ass sideways because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I really don't. I don't want to alienate people. I don't want the business to suffer because somebody took something I said out of context. I'm very careful about the things that I talk about now.
Yeah.
But you guys are very like forward thinking and open minded. And I know you're a liberal. I know that about you. I see your posts all the time and I go, oh my God, I want to fucking yell at her right now, but no, I'm not going to.
No, but you know what? You can because you're my friend, and I know
we
can We can disagree all day long. I mean, quite frankly, one of my best friends is my first husband, and he's a lot like you. And, you know, we just agree to disagree. He's got his view. I've got my view. I don't love him less. I don't love you less. It's
so far, I think we've agreed on everything.
That's all. You know?
I think so far we've agreed on everything. I don't think we've disagreed on anything yet. But I honestly believe that we're going to see this is just – this election is going to polarize this country. Because just the way it's going right now, and we're, you know, we're a month and a half and almost 2 months away from the election, it's really going to – you know, this election is going to send shockwaves. And I really believe that either one is the wrong candidate to help America. Because as far as I'm concerned, I care about America and getting America back to what America is supposed to be more than I care about anything else. And if there was a viable liberal contender that would do it, I would vote for him. If there was a truly viable Republican, I would vote for him. You know, I'm honestly just going to write in my vote.
Yeah,
and I'm going to tell you guys who I'm voting for.
Please don't say Ron.
Because I think, what? Ron Paul? There's a lot of things about Ron Paul I love, because he's got a big fucking ball bag on him, man. If he could walk into the Congress and say, you know what, we're turning into a communist country. He goes, fuck socialists, we're turning into a communist country. And all of you, and he pointed to every single one of them, and said, you guys are all fucked up. Now, I paraphrased what he said, but he basically has a nutsack that's like the size of my truck, all right? I give him credit for that. I really do. I give Ron Paul a lot of credit because he's got the balls to stand up. No, I'm actually going to vote for Darth Vader.
I don't even know who that is. Who is that?
Darth Vader?
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader, yes. I'm going to vote for Darth Vader.
Oh, okay. Well, Darth Vader would definitely stir some shit up. That's for damn sure.
Luke is too much of a pussy, and Han just kind of just wants to party and get high and screw chicks. So we don't want another Clinton. So I guess the only viable option, is Darth Vader. I don't know. But seriously, I mean, you guys are going to see. We're all going to see something. Hopefully something good comes out of it. I mean, you know,
that would be nice. I'm cautiously optimistic, but that's how I live my life anyway. And
hope
as
for the
far
best,
as,
expect the worst?
Well, you know, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. As much as you possibly can, which, quite honestly, you really fucking can't unless you have the money that allows you to do so. So it's kind of a moot point when you get down to it. Excuse me. But the fact of the matter is that I thought the race between Gore and McCain was what started the whole polarization factor. And I have to be honest with you. Wait. Hold on. I have to be honest with you. As much of a liberal as I am right now, I was a McCain girl back then.
Well,
surprise, surprise.
You know what? I don't want you guys to take this as being sexist, but you know what McCain's problem was, right?
His age? Uh-oh, we're about to get hit with some reality, but...
Do you honestly think even the Republicans in this country, do you honestly believe even the most staunch Republican in this country wanted Sarah Palin in the office? Are you freaking kidding me?
No, not this past election with McCain. No.
Yes.
I'm talking about back then, sweetie pie. Nobody wanted Sarah Palin. Absolutely.
All right, now, yes, I know what you're talking about. You know, Al Gore, he created the Internet. You know that. He created the Internet.
Oh, he's just sticking the needles in now.
Well, we are actually about to get cut off.
No!
Yeah, we just we're running out of time, so I want to say great blessings to everybody and thank you to Rob.
Yes,
just in case
you guys
get cut off. Love you,
Rob. Don't be cut off. Hang out for a minute while we say goodnight to the folks. Good night, Rob.
Love you guys.
Everybody.
Thank you guys for coming.
Are we still live or are we off the air right now?
No, I think actually we're still recording. So.
We are still recording, but are we technically off the air? Somebody say hello if they are.
Oh, I'm still here.
Are we off?
We're still
on. I
want
to continue this fucking conversation because I'm fascinated.
Okay, go. And if we get cut off, we apologize. So.
Yeah, we do apologize because, Rob, you are fascinating. I don't agree with shit you've been saying in the last 20 minutes, but I don't care because I love you anyway, and I think you're an amazing artist. And I think you're incredibly brilliant, and it has nothing to do with whether or not we agree. I'm fascinated by your viewpoint. I actually want to hear more about it.
Okay.
So
you
and I need
to
go offline at some point and have this conversation some more.
I will text you his number.
Rob's number. It's just a question of he and I setting up a time where we've got time to actually sit down and talk.
Cool.
All right, yeah, whenever you guys want.
I mean, I totally want you back on after the election. We're going to find a night. We're finding a night for you because I want your take. Because I think we're going to have Taliesin on also afterwards. Because I want to hear everybody's take on what the fuck just happened.
Taliesin has
been on before the election. I know that, but I'm saying I also want to have Rob back on at some point after the election, and get his opinion of what's going on. Because aside from being a creative, woodworksman or woodsworkman or however that is supposed to be said, he's also got a brilliant political mind. So I think this is really fucking amazing.
Well, we should get
the two of them in a room.
Oh, I know. Get him and Taliesin in one room. Fuck, we're done.
The thing is, if you even have a modicum of intelligence whatsoever, right? And I'm not saying you guys, I'm saying you with a general statement. If you have a modicum of intelligence and you see both parties for what they are now, not what they started to be, not what not what the founding fathers wanted it to be, okay, you will see the hypocrisy and the bullshit on both sides. It's not just one. I'm not a fan of liberals because I don't believe in being politically correct. I don't care about hurting somebody's feelings. If I'm telling them something and it's the truth, suck it the fuck up, cupcake.
Even as a liberal, I believe in gun ownership, which goes against the norm. So I'm with you on that.
Okay, so you see what I'm saying? That's the thing, is people like us, especially like you guys really truly aren't liberal. Just like I'm truly not conservative, because I don't believe in the religious aspects of it. I'll tell you guys this. I do not 100% do not believe in abortion. I really don't.
I do.
You guys will like this. You guys will like this. Trust me.
You gotta understand what I'm about to say, though. Here's the thing about abortion. Nobody fucking wants to have one. It's not about believing in abortion. I believe in a person's individual right, which, let me tell you something, is one of the most painful fucking decisions a person can make.
My dear.
I believe in that person's
I don't believe in abortion for me. That's why I have so many kids, okay? I do not believe that a woman should use an abortion as birth control.
Let me finish.
I will not, under any circumstances, ever profess to say that I can tell a woman to do what she can and can't do with her body. I'll be motherfucking goddamned if I'm going to believe in a person who's going to say, you can't do this to your body. Fuck that. Because you know what? I want to be free. I want to do what I want to do with my body, with my life, and with my money. with my kids, with my family. I'll be goddamn if I want, if I'm going to be the type of person that I'm going to take those beliefs for me, but then I'm going to be a complete hypocrite when it comes to somebody else. That's bullshit.
Okay.
For my personal belief, if a woman gets raped and she gets pregnant, please have an abortion, because you know what? You're just spreading that seed around. Okay. I'm all for that. I mean, but I'm all for that. Okay. But I just don't, if a woman gets pregnant, she goes, well, I don't want to have a baby. And I'm like, wait a minute now. And these are the kind of conversations I have in my head. It's not that it's happened. It's wait a minute now. The two of us laid down together, okay? We both made the decision to have sex.
Right.
You got pregnant, but you know what? That baby in that belly is part mine, so I have a fucking say in it too.
See,
I'm a fucking man.
I do agree with that. I have to say, I believe the woman's right, but...
You do have a say, and you should have a say, and your feelings should be considered. The unfortunate part about that is that the ultimate decision does come down to one person, and there's nothing. That's just a biological fact.
Well, it should be between two, and that's
absolutely.
My only problem with that is that it really should be. I mean, it's like, you know, especially if a guy, and as rare as that is nowadays, because I know most of us are fucking shitheads when it comes to being fucking parents. All right? I know that.
Correct.
If a guy lays down with a woman and she says, you know what, I got pregnant, and he says, you know what, well, I want to do the right thing. Even if we're not going to be together, I still want to do the right thing, because maybe I want to have a baby. Maybe I don't. It doesn't matter. But I'm still going to do the right thing by you if you have this baby. He should be a part of that decision-making process, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But do you have any idea of how few men there are that say, I want to do the right thing and actually do it?
Yes, I do. And it makes me sick.
Now, I understand what you're saying as far as personal culpability. If you have sex with somebody and you get pregnant, no. An abortion is not merely for birth control. Absolutely.
Well, there's a lot of women that do that, though.
I totally agree.
There's a lot of women that do that. And that sucks.
And that's why, honestly, I think there should be a three rule or three strike law on that. Personally.
Wait a minute. I've never heard that before. And that's coming from a liberal. That's awesome. All right, tell me about this. You're on your third one, you get a hysterectomy?
Because you've proven that you cannot be responsible. So if you have to have three abortions, you obviously don't want to have kids that much to begin with, and you're costing the system a whole fuckload of money, which means you're costing all of us, like you pointed out for other things about prison. It's the same difference if it's federal money. So in that case, yes, if it's three strikes, you're out. And guess what? You're going to get your tubes tied, and that's it. You can't force
people. My
dear,
do you know how conservative you sound right now?
It doesn't matter.
That's a fiscally conservative thing.
I understand that. Listen, everybody is not all one thing. Even the Republicans that say they're Republican and the Democrats that say that they're Democrats. Listen, Democrats are pussies. Republicans are assholes. This is not news to anybody who reads, okay?
Yes, that's it.
So,
thank you.
But the fact of the matter, personally for me, which is why there's a difference in opinion between you and me, is because I do believe in the ability or the necessity, from what I'm understanding, for people to have less government and more personal responsibility. What I'm going to tell you is that because of the two-party system and the two-class systems that we seem to have in this country, because as far as I'm concerned, the middle class, quote-unquote, is really just it's just a middle ground before you're fucking poor. Because most middle class people will never understand the kind of life that the Republican Party, their candidates, represent. These are what the people want to be and will never be. And I do believe in helping thy neighbor. I do believe in social programs. I do believe in means testing for welfare and capability of work. I don't believe in just handouts, but I do believe in social programs.
Well, I don't take help from anybody. All right, this is just for me. This isn't just my personal belief. I bust my ass for everything that I have, and I don't ever really half step anything I do. I don't, you know, half ass. I bust my ass. My kids are taken care of by me.
Right.
You know.
Well,
I live in an area. Hang on, guys.
Yeah.
I live in an area where, unfortunately, to drive to the shop, I have to drive right by the welfare office. And I drive by the welfare office, and I see these fucking scumbags out there with $3,000 rims on their cars.
Yeah, and there should be testing for that. No, I agree that you should not just hand a check to anybody. But I will also tell you the flip side is that the biological father of my children decided that it was okay to start beating me, isolate me from my family thousands of miles away from home, okay? And I had no choice but to be in the system until I could get enough of my shit together to secure daycare for my children and a job for myself because I was being beaten.
Well, that's not a Republican or a liberal thing. That is just a fucking...
social thing. But it's a...
It's not even a social thing. That's a thing that's because the truth is, my generation, unfortunately, I got out of that. Our generation, you know, you guys aren't that much older than me, but our generation, we are, like, as far as I'm concerned, unless you've, like, elevated, unless you've transcended, our generation is pretty much the worst fucking generation out there right now. I mean, we have absolutely no clue how to raise our kids. I mean, I grew up in the fucking, in the mid to late 70s, in the early 80s. We didn't wear fucking helmets when we were on our bikes. We didn't have knee pads. We played in fucking dirt. We played out in the middle of the street. Our parents were in the fucking house. We were out there playing in the dirt, falling off of shit. I was in the woods, like the little bit of woods, like right across the street from my house in New York with this cemetery, cemetery. And I'd always play in the woods. And I'd have my toy gun. I'd be gone for hours. And, you know, I'm riding a bike over a plywood jump. You know, without a helmet on. And I'm still standing here. We rode in the back of pickup trucks. You remember that?
I do remember that.
Our generation was raised wrong for some reason after that. I mean, as soon as, like, the 80s left, I loved the 80s. You know, there was a lot of shit. I mean, I was young in the 80s, but still, there was a lot of really cool things in the 80s, man. And people were just, even though they were blissfully unaware of what was going on, people were happy. People aren't happy today. We're just a miserable fucking generation, and people need to, like, really, and I say this word a lot in my everyday life, and I say it to my kids, and I say it to my friends, you got to transcend. You got to transcend the bullshit. You got to, like, elevate yourself. I mean, Aleister Crowley talked about, and all of his works, it's about transcendence. It's about knowing what you are, not even wanting to be something, but knowing what you are and doing everything in your power to get to that point. But people are too lazy and lethargic today to even bother. I mean, my kids text message me in the same fucking house. And it drives me fucking nuts. I don't even like text messaging to begin with, and we're in the same fucking house. I'll never forget when we had a really big house at one point, and I was in my bedroom. My daughters were downstairs. They called me from downstairs. I'm like, where are you guys? Why are you calling me? Oh, we're downstairs. Yeah. Get up off your lazy ass and come upstairs and talk to me. I mean, for as connected, and I believe this with all of my heart, for as connected as we are with
isolated.
Facebook, with phones, with with text messaging and Twittering and you know, all the social media we have, we are more disconnected from one another than we've ever been in any previous generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're very isolated in our connectivity. We speak to each other not in words, but in little specks of sound bites. There's no inflection. There's no emotion. There's no feeling. Which is why I'm on the phone with my sister 3 hours a day, every day, so I can hear her voice. You know?
And pretty soon we're going to get you home so I can hug on your neck.
Yes, you are going to hug on my neck in the next few months. I am going to be home soon.
Yay.
And, you guys need to come up to fucking Salem.
We will. Oh, we already have plans. We're planning a road trip next spring. Don't you worry about it. You're going to see my happy ass in person, and I'm going to kiss you. I don't care who's in the room.
I'm waiting for it, baby.
All right. We like you lots. I'm not bad for an old lady, right, sis?
Are you kidding me? You don't look like an old lady. You're fucking hot.
How old are you? I'll be 51 in October.
That's just an age, baby. If you can move that ass, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, honey, this moves this ass for a second. Well, there's a picture of me in my Facebook. You can see exactly what I look like. Did I lose him? Where'd he go?
No, I'm right here. I'm going to the Facebook.
He's going to go look at my Facebook photos. There's a picture of me from February. That's what I look like. But, so I'm excited to get the hell out of here. Rob, you are fucking fascinating to talk to.
You don't look 50 in that picture.
Yeah.
There's no way.
That's February.
I'm like trying to see that. I'm like moving the screen on my laptop so I can see down your shirt.
You can do it in person, Daddy.
Oh, rock on, baby, rock on.
I love it. Oh, my God, I'm going to hug on you. This is going to be fun. We're all going to hug on you. We're coming to Salem to visit.
Yeah, I was going to
awesome.
Say, actually, we'll be hugging on your legs because we're pretty damn short.
Yeah, I'm only 5'2".
She's shorter than I am.
You're
yeah,
what?
She's five,
no,
yeah,
you're 5'1". I'm
5'2".
Whatever. 5'1", 5'2". Spinners.
Hey, sis, you take one side, I'll take the other. I meet you around back, baby.
There you go. All right, well, on that happy note, I am going to go ahead and end the
show.
We're
going to exit out?
Yeah, because we could, I mean, seriously, I should have made this, like, the two-hour show. I really should have. But
well, next time, well, Rob, you are awesome to talk to. I hope you still like me the same, even though we are so differing.
I actually don't believe that we're that different, my dear. I really don't.
We're probably not, but on some there are some core issues that I think you and I could go a couple of rounds on. But I think
okay.
You're wonderful, and I love talking to you. And we will do this again very soon.
Awesome, awesome. I look forward to it, ladies.
So much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Love
all right, guys, take it easy. Love you too.
All right,
bye.
All right, bye.
Sis?
Yes.
Are you still there, mommy?
Yeah. I'll call you.
Hi,
in a
mama.
Second.
All right. Well, as long as I still have you on the phone, you don't have to do the post call because we're still sitting here.
No, hold on.